Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk. Aloha, Paul here from the War Room, and technically a rather rubbish week so far, but everything else is going fantastic. I had a bit of a problem with the sound for the War Room show on YouTube this week, so probably going to need to re-record that, I'm afraid. Sorry, Harrison. And this is my now fourth take of trying to record this show. So hopefully we'll get through it in one piece and see how we go. In the news this week, what's taken my fancy? Well, there was a post went up on Facebook last week about a World Team Championship being organised over in Poland, which looks pretty exciting, I have to say, being a tournament player. Maybe not a very good tournament player, but a tournament player, it's right up my street. And if I could get picked for Scotland, it would be pretty good. Although I'm not sure whether I'll be picked or not, but we'll see how that goes. Hoping to get involved with that in some small way and seeing if we can't promote that, because it does look like it's going to be a great deal of fun. And getting, hopefully, a collection of some of the best players around in one place and talk over ideas, all sorts of things, bolt action, and lots of chats and meeting new friends. So that was happening in Poland. It's going to be next year in April. And yeah, just keep listening in. We'll probably get updates and let you know how we are getting along with that. I'll be speaking to the organiser in the next few weeks and see if we can't bring you more news. But certainly something that I've been looking to see on the map for a few years. And I know it doesn't appeal to all the guys that just like to play fluffy or historical lists and things, but there are some of us guys out there who like the competitive side. And one of the great things about going to tournaments and various events all over the place is meeting people and making new contacts and more friends and just more bolt action chat. You can never have too much bolt action, can you guys? So with that in mind, as some of you will know, I'm off to Whitley Bay next week. This month has been an exceptionally quiet month for me, tournament-wise, but we're off to Whitley Bay next weekend. I think it's on the Sunday. It'll be an early start going down to see the guys there. It's Dom Soar's competition, but I think he's had to pull out for family reasons, and I think he is ably aided and abetted, if those are the right words, by Ben Rolls, is it, from Northumberland Wargamers, and I can't remember the other guy that's organising, so my apologies, guys. So we're looking forward to going down. Last year it was great, and it was a goodie bag to die for. Not often you get goodie bags at competitions, but the goodie bag at the Whitley Bay one was really good last time, and it should be good again. So just going down for the goodie bag, to be honest, and to meet a few friends. It's quite a fun event, this one. Three games, Escalator, 500, 750 and 1000. If you guys have heard the previous posts, you'll know what all that's on about. And this weekend I played a practice game for the 750 point game, which is a game where basically you're trying to capture the opposition's officer. And I learnt quite a few things playing with Graham from the club. Graham is a good competitive player, and he absolutely wiped the floor with me in this one. Graham was playing Australians, his current Australian army, and I was playing Japanese. I think this will be, even though I say it every time, the final outing for the Japanese. And playing a little Burma list and various things, but for this particular 750 point scenario, is, as I say, one where you're capturing the officers, and the setup for the table is quite interesting. So the officers need to be set up on the table, 1 foot in from your long table edge and in the centre of the table, and both officers are set up like that. Then you put a dice in the bag for each of the other units and you draw dice and set up within 12 inches. And then basically you get to it. Winning conditions are you can win if you manage to capture the enemy officer. You capture the enemy officer by assaulting his unit or himself if he's on his own and winning that assault, and then you have effectively captured him. If you kill him any other way, you automatically lose. So it's one of those games where it's kind of odd that you both of you can win if you both capture the enemy officer. Both of you could lose if you both kill the enemy officer any other way. And I suppose technically you could both draw. So, well, everybody both draws when it's a draw. That was a silly thing to say, but you know what I mean. So we had a go at that game. And it became evident fairly on that the officer is not going to be shot at by the other side. So one of the things I might try doing is putting my officer next to my artillery and my mortar to try and keep them from using HE on them. So the HE templates may be catching the other. If I put them close to the mortar, for example, the HE template might catch them. And my opponent might kill him by mistake, which would mean that my opponent would be on a loss. So you could use your officer to protect your HE units, which is probably going to be quite effective. But I didn't realise that when I was playing Graham. Not that it made a lot of use. But the other thing is that you can basically, it doesn't matter whether your officer's in cover or has line of sight, etc., as long as the other side can't assault him, he's pretty much immune and can travel about where he wants. In this particular scenario, you can't go within 6 inches of the table edge. But we did find that it was quite difficult to catch on. The start of the game, Graham managed to take out my Stuart tank fairly easily and left his Stuart on. But again, he couldn't really fire his Stuart at my officer. And it just became quite difficult to get your troops up to the officer in range to be able to charge. So making use of rough ground and obstacles like fences and things meant that it's can be quite difficult for the opposition to actually get their guys anywhere near your officer. Graham did end up winning it in the 7th turn. He actually tabled me in the 7th turn, but it was quite difficult, and up to the end of turn 6 it was looking like a draw, even though I only had one, I think I maybe had two units on actually left. I had a sniper and my officer at turn 7, but the sniper soon died, I think. But it was quite difficult, and if it wasn't that I was getting hammered by so much, it would have probably been a draw. I think it's going to be quite a difficult scenario to win that scenario. So it was well worth playing the game. Learned a lot from being hammered yet again, but hopefully we'll have some fun. It was quite fun to play just because it's a wee bit different from the normal scenarios that you play. Which, kind of with the World Team thing going on, it started making me think about the ETC. ETC for bolt action isn't happening this year, simply because we've kind of run out of time. Next year there's a chance, but we don't know who the organising committee for next year for ETC is going to be until the vote to see where the next one is. I think that's the end of this month, so we should know into next month where the ETC is going to be, and then we'll know who the committee is, and it would be up to that committee to approach somebody to try and get bolt action as maybe one of the side events, which could be quite good fun. So you never know, we'll maybe get to ETC yet, but the world's a different one. But that got me to thinking about the ways to play bolt action, not only scenarios. Scenarios make a huge, you know, it's one of the main things with bolt action as to how your game will go or won't. Hello, got a wee, that's Harrison just come back from the gym, so we were talking about what we're doing tonight there, sorry guys. But we were talking about, or at least I was talking about, scenarios and how scenarios really, it's the main thing that affects your game, and sometimes when it's scenarios that you've never seen before, so quite a lot, some competitions will make up their own scenarios, sometimes they're based on the existing ones in the book and sometimes they're not. And those, how you read that scenario and understand it and then choose to play it can make a big difference to your result, more so than whether you're rocking up a cheesy flamer list or a howitzer list or whatever. And that's one of the big things that tournament organisers can do to level some of the playing fields a wee bit, is by using secret missions and missions not even in the book, as long as they've been well play tested. There's one or two times you play a mission and it just doesn't work for your particular set of circumstances. But there's lots. So I was thinking about how they do the team and the ETC. Now, I don't know much about the ETC and playing team competitions, but something that did sound quite good fun, I think I read sometime about the 40K, how they run it, and I might be getting this totally wrong, but what they do is you have, I can't remember, I think they have four players, and what they do is they get the team captains, sometimes the teams will have a non-playing captain, but they get the team captains, and one of the teams will nominate one of their players to play, say, for example, in the first game. And then the opposition will put up two guys who will possibly take him on. And then the first guy, who is definitely playing, will choose one of those two players to play against. And they get paired off. And then the other side does the same, then the other side, and then the last two guys are obviously playing themselves. Now, I don't know whether they do it like this, but I'm assuming they all play on identical tables each time. And I'm trying to think how this might work if we ran a team competition sometime for Bolt Action. It would be, we've talked about up here running a club competition, which is essentially a team competition. It would be quite nice to do a team competition if we can find a date and get everybody to play. I think we were talking about maybe having a little league. Was it Coxie, Rich Cox from West Calder, I think, was putting it forward that we could play at each other's clubs on their respective club nights, because I think most of the clubs up here have their club night on a different night. I think that was the gist of his post. I wonder if there's any other clubs out there that run sort of team competitions and how they do it. So if you're listening, guys, and you do run that sort of competition, it would be fun to find out. And there was another post that was put up asking us about what kind of communities we had, the numbers in our communities, how many games we kind of played, and if we had any competitions. With the amount of people that I have in my locale, it would be quite nice to get some sort of a little league going. And it's real, for me, it's really just an excuse to play more games of Bolt Action, to be honest, which I love. I think it would be quite good fun, and it might be a way to encourage some more players into Bolt Action. So we'll maybe have a think about that. I've talked about it a few times over at the club, and we've never actually done anything about doing it. But I wonder if I could maybe take the bull by the horns and get some of the guys up here to have a wee league. Not sure quite how it'd work, but should be eminently possible with the players that we have here. I mean, we've got maybe 10 or so who might participate from our club, and 5 or 6 anyway, probably from Edinburgh guys that I'm going over to visit tonight. So yeah, it would be quite good fun, maybe over the course of 6 months or a year. Well, we'll think about that. So that was something else that came up. We've got the new Winter Germans have been released this week by Warlord, of course. So looking forward to getting my hands on those. Haven't actually got mine yet. One of the things that I'm working on at the moment is a new online store for the War HQ. And most of my time is busily getting taken up putting on all the pictures and descriptions and all that kind of thing. So that's been taking up most of my time. This has been a very quiet month competition-wise, so I feel as though I haven't played Bolt Action for yonks. Although I probably play as often as possible, but with April being so busy, it just feels as though I'm in a bit of a wasteland. I haven't really done any hobbying for myself in, gosh, as far as I can remember. I'm still working on a few commissions for people at the moment and getting them put out. So my next project is going to be the Dutch, and I've talked to the chap who runs May 40. He produces a range of Dutch figures, so trying to start to find out a little bit about the history of it. And looks as though I'll be using their armoured car. Can't remember what it's called now, but the Dutch have got an armoured car, which isn't too bad. So we'll have an armoured car. I will probably be going to run lots of inexperienced units, because they play pretty much what are the French rules, and if you take, I think it's 3 inexperienced units, you can take a 4th inexperienced unit for free. And of course you get the free artillery piece, so that's going to be medium artillery. Not much anti-tank going on in the Dutch, so I'm not sure what I'm going to use for anti-tank. I could take a medium anti-tank gun for my free artillery. I was thinking about maybe taking the anti-aircraft gun for normal artillery, which is a heavy autocannon. So I think it's +3, and you're rolling 2 dice, gives you more chances to hit. Ideally, actually, I would like to take 2 of them, but can't. Might think about taking 2 platoons, certainly at 1250, and also thinking about taking a captain to help keep those inexperienced units running and more likely to pass their order tests. Could be an option. Not really played captains before. Having played Royal Marines, a veteran captain is quite an expensive outlay. An inexperienced captain still runs close to 100 points, I think, but at least you do get those extra use of the rules. They've got a 12-inch bubble instead of a 6-inch bubble. They've got the +3 to the +3 to order tests, etc. And of course, he can pull out 3 dice, which means I could get my artillery working. So that's always something to think about. So we could be thinking about captain. It's obviously, I'm starting to get a few ideas in there, but there isn't a lot else in a Dutch army. So it's going to be, looks like, kind of horde army with very few bells and whistles on. Not sure how many dice it's going to run out at. How much are the inexperienced? Probably 12-man inexperienced. What are they? About 7 points each. 70, 80. Oh, yeah, I'm probably going to end up with about 10 or 12 dice at 1,000 points. Now, I was told you can take a sniper with the Dutch, but I was told that the Dutch didn't actually have snipers. They nominated marksmen in their units. So I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do there. I'm probably going to take the sniper and call him a marksman. But, oh, I don't know. I wish you could get marksmen in units. Maybe an idea for a rules change down the road. I'd much prefer to take marksmen in. So effectively you're getting a sniper in a unit rather than a sniper on his own. I quite like the idea of that. But anyway, the ideas are starting to flow for the Dutch. If you guys have got any Dutch ideas out there for me, remember I'm playing just the May 40 list, so it's the European Dutch early war. And if you go and have a look at their list, they have a They have a campaign list for Europe 1940. There isn't a lot on that list. So if you've got any cunning ideas how I might be able to play a very fluffy list and maybe actually kill some stuff with it, I would be most grateful, I have to say. So, looking forward to next week. There's a lot going on. Looks like we're going to record the show when I go across to Edinburgh tonight, down in the cavern, let's call it, at Mox in the Hole, it's called. So we're going across there. So hopefully we'll get that YouTube show up in the next wee bit. So take care, guys. I'll speak to you again by the end of the week. Hopefully we'll have a lot more news and we'll be getting all excited for the weekend. Take care, guys. Keep rolling sixes.